Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Again, it is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me tonight.
Off-grid Angie.
And Classic.
Was that a question?
Classic
and Classic
Plan B.
Steve Classic.
Ah, there you go. That's much better. Right. That's much better. Now we have something we can sample later on too.
To turn my voice into a AI chatbot.
Yeah, so like
I could phone it in literally.
We could have virtual Classic here.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, it would cost us money to make that happen. So.
There's an app, probably.
You're probably cheaper than the app right now.
Right.
You know, but perhaps sometime in the future, we'll all be replaced. Maybe. I know that I've been being replaced when it comes to doing voice work.
Right.
Yeah, one of my staples of voice work was doing voicings for phone systems. And now, within these, most phones are now all digital, right? They're all in the cloud. It's all a subscription service that you pay for. There's very little equipment you need to have on site. You just need to have phones and internet connections at every station. So you get these phones. Everything else is built by a person who programs your phone tree, your press one for sales and two for service and three for billing and all that crap. Somebody had to voice that stuff.
That used to be you.
That used to be me, at least for a bunch of different companies.
Right.
Mostly mom and pops and stuff like that, but you'd get recurring business because, oh, you know what, Dave got fired and we hired Bill and now we need to revoice, this one thing, or they'd save it up, and every quarter they'd revise it or whatever it is. Every business is a little bit different with how they do things, but you get some repeat work out of that. It's all died off now because all these systems have upgraded to a point where they have built-in really natural human-sounding voices.
Right.
And so all you need to do is copy and paste the script that you want, and then in a drop-down, you can pick male or female-sounding voice. You can pick accent.
Right. It's on your Waze app. It'll tell you in like a British accent.
Right. You can pick whatever you want, and they are so smooth-sounding. And so now, when Dave gets fired, they just need to open up the text part of the script and replace the word Dave with the word Bob. Hit save,
right.
And it changes it, and it sounds as natural as anything I could do.
Right. Female from California.
Yeah.
From California?
Right.
Press 2?
Well,
you know what I hate is like when you go, you call the like Xfinity or whatever, like we're working on your thing, and you hear like, like they're typing. Like,
they really are working.
Yeah. Right.
Listen to the sound of them working.
Right. It's like the person at the airport. Try to get your ticket. Let me see it. They just fly. Like, what are you typing? That's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So it's Sunday, and generally
off the rails.
We try to take things a little less serious from time to time here on Sundays. And so I have this article here.
Our number two story tonight.
It's not necessarily about... It's not necessarily our number two story, but
it's close.
It's certainly, I read this thing, Richie Rich sent it to me, and I was like, that might be one of the greatest things I've ever read this year. From SBNation.com, Dick Bigger loves to have politicians sign his balls.
Can you read that again?
I can. Give me a second. The headline reads, Dick Bigger loves to have politicians sign his balls. The subheading says, nobody has the balls that Dick Bigger does.
I want to be AI, his parents.
Did AI write this?
No. I don't think AI has a sense of humor. I don't think that can be programmed. I think it's exclusive to humanity. But anyway, the article continues. Pardon me. I have read through this once, so anyway, here we go. Dick Bigger Jr. is a proud patriot.
Junior.
Right, so there's a Dick Bigger Sr., right? The implication here is pretty obvious, right?
Dick Bigger Bigger.
Dick Bigger Jr. is a proud patriot, the kind of man who loves nothing more than participating in local politics by presenting his baseballs to politicians so they can autograph them. Laugh all you want, but
we are.
But Dick Bigger has the balls to get this done. They show a tweet, an X, whatever we're calling these things these days. It says Governor J.B. Pritzker signs baseballs for Dick Bigger Jr. of Biggsville. That's right,
Biggsville.
Dick Bigger Jr. lives in Biggsville.
Wow,
not Juniorsville.
Biggsville. So that's senior or junior?
Junior.
Junior.
Governor.
They don't call him Little Dick Bigger?
I mean, maybe they do.
When he was a kid.
Governor J.B. Pritzker signs baseballs for Dick Bigger Jr. of Biggsville during Governor's Day at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield on Wednesday, August 16, 2023. Bigger has politicians sign baseballs every year he attends the fair and even has a ball signed by former President Obama.
Only one?
That's just what this tweet says. So, you know.
Wait, he gets two signed by each governor or just one?
This remains unclear.
Yeah, okay.
This week, Dick Bigger from Biggsville held his balls in his hand at the Illinois State Fair so they could be signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker. Pritzker was happy to grab the baseballs, putting his John Hancock on the balls for Dick Bigger.
Come on. Come on. Is this The Onion?
This is SBNation.com.
This is tremendous, this story.
This is some of the best writing we've ever had here
this
on this show.
Awesome.
Like some of the articles we read are so poorly written. This one, tongue in cheek.
We gotta thank Richie Rich for finding this one. This is awesome.
This one's not AI. It was really written.
you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, humans can only write comedy like this.
That's right.
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 So signing Bigger's balls is a rite of passage for Illinois politicians, as his balls were once signed by former President Barack Obama. It's unclear of how many of Bigger's balls have been held by politicians, but considering the farmer attends the state fair every year to get his balls signed, it's safe to say he has a lot of balls.
Say that three times, man. Oh, my God.
That. Oh, I took you literally.
There's
a lot of balls in that article.
There's a lot of balls.
In the wake of the internet falling in love with Dick Bigger, we learned that his mother was named Dixie Bigger.
What? Come on.
They have another photo of a tweet that says, not only was Dick Bigger's father also named Dick Bigger, his mother's name was Dixie Bigger, and they were all from Biggsville, Illinois. It's unclear if her maiden name was Normus. Dixie.
No, is that editorial? Is that really in there? Are you making that up?
It's right. It's right here.
Come on!
I just read it off the article. Wow. I had no hand in creating this. I am only reciting it as best I can in my best radio voice.
Yes. The captain continues.
Sometimes Bigger's impressive balls can lead to opportunities. It wasn't long ago that Dick Bigger from Biggsville helped make political ads for those he supported, though without his balls, Dick Bigger got a little flustered in front of the camera. They do have a video here that I'm not going to play for you. We'll share this article, of course, in our social media if you follow us on Mastodon or Twitter or anything like that. But the author concludes, I hope Dick Bigger and his balls have a great time at the fair. So there you go.
Wow.
That's the story of Dick Bigger and politicians signing his balls.
Could you read that again? That is funny.
No, I mean, I could, but I'm not going to. If you miss any part of this particular article, you can, of course, go to the archives sometime after tonight's show and find a repeat or download.
I might have to replay this segment.
It's fascinating is what it is.
Yeah.
whenever I come across this kind of stuff, I want to meet the people who name, which now that I know that there's a senior, it's like I want to meet the grandparents.
Right.
Who,
right.
And, you know, you always think of, like you're, like, kind of, like, a punk, you're young, whatever, and you think that, like, older people weren't like that, but they were, like, we're getting old, right?
Yeah,
like we're going to be there someday. So I just imagine, like, what, 80, 90 years ago, there was some couple that was just like,
I'm going to curse my family.
Let's have a little fun here.
Well, let's see, our last name is Bigger.
Yeah.
What will we name our son? How about Richard?
Richard Bigger.
Like, sometimes I have a problem with the way people name their children, and it's entirely possible that either the senior or the junior Dick Bigger was annoyed and, you know, harassed and, you know, all the things that kids do to each other because of names and that kind of thing. And so sometimes I give parents, you know, crap about naming their children horrible things. But in this case, man, that's funny.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, I have a friend named Ephraim, and he's the Ephraim the Fifth. So his father was Ephraim. His grandfather was Ephraim.
His father before that.
He's the fifth. Yeah. Like, really, you're just going to keep that lineage going? He didn't. He cut it with his son.
Yeah. You know.
Like, that's enough of the joke.
That's funny. Probably gave the son the middle name, though, Ephraim. Yeah. Right? That's usually what happens.
They're hidden in there somewhere.
Yeah. I have a message to anybody who's, I don't know, under the age of 30. For the most part, people do not grow up. Right, there's this illusion that children have, that adults give them, that, you know, people change when they get older and they get more mature and more responsible. And I'm like, not really.
You have to pay the bills.
You got to figure out how to make some money and get by on a daily basis and survive and, you know, have some sort of connection to other carbon-based life forms. And that's about all you need. And so, for the most part, like, if you're in a public school right now and there's like a bully, that guy's probably going to be a bully for all of his life, right? That's usually how it turns out. If somebody seems to be like a smart person, they're probably going to be a smart person for most of their life, right? Whatever their personality is, if that guy, that guy's easily triggered, watch out. He's probably going to be easily triggered for most of his life, well into adulthood. We just get older, right? That's it. That's all there is. So, and for certain, like, people are like, well, you won't understand that until you're older. Okay, maybe. There's a few cases of that. But for the most part, if you can't understand it when you're younger, chances are the person who's telling you you won't understand it until you're older doesn't understand it themselves. Mm-hmm. Or at least doesn't understand it enough to explain it to you in a way that you will understand.
Well, I think there's life experiences that give you perspective. Like, that's a matter of perspective.
And wisdom.
Yeah.
Right, that comes with experience. Yeah. So those are real things. But as far as personality type and the way people function with each other, for the most part, that's all set by the time you're 12.
Right.
You know, maybe even before that. You go to, like, your high school reunion, and you're totally not, like, taken aback by really anything that anybody, they're like, oh, that's Jim. Oh, same old Jim, you know, doing the same old Jim stuff that Jim did back when we were in grade school or whatever, right? You know, you might be amazed at, like, how fat or skinny somebody got, you know, since, you know, all that kind of thing. But for the most part, their personalities have stayed the same.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, folks don't really change all that much. They might change in physical appearance. They might change in life experience, wisdom, right?
Oh, there's Dick. He brought his balls to the reunion this year again.
Yep. He had him signed.
Little Dick Bigger's going to follow in his footsteps.
All right. I guess we should move on. Cold segue. Let's talk about a Texas school district threatens to seize 79-year-old man's home for a stadium parking lot. The Houston area Aldine Independent School District is considering the use of eminent domain to seize a one-acre property owned and occupied by Travis Upchurch. Before we get into this article, eminent domain is one of the most BS things that exists in legal land. All it is like if a city or county or town or whatever state even decides that they want to build something and your property is in the way, or they want your property to be a part of it, they can just take it from you.
Well, it used to be we have to put a highway in, we have to put something critical infrastructure. Now it's like, well, we want to put a mall here so we can get more tax money.
Right.
So you're out. Or they'll just burn your island down. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Have you seen the bits about, like Oprah's house was spared and, like,
yeah.
And if you look at the map from the aerial view, that, like, how is that even possible for these specific homes to have been spared?
Oh, let's not go down the rabbit hole on Maui.
Yeah.
We can. We got half an hour.
What was it? Maui Blast? Mountain Dew? Maui Burst or something?
That was the
new flavor. Yeah, the new flavor of Mountain Dew that was released, like, just right before this whole thing went down.
Really? Get a case of that before they pull that.
It's as if the Simpsons predicted it.
Exactly. Yeah.
At any rate, a family in Houston, Texas is at risk of having their generational home seized to make way for the expansion of the adjacent high school football stadium parking lot. So it's not even like an NFL stadium, like, you know, where they rape the taxpayer right. to pay for the stadium before right. the NFL will come to town.
Because those poor NFL owners
can't afford to build a stadium.
They have to charge $12 for a beer to make up for it.
Yeah. In April, the Aldine Independent School District voted to authorize the use of eminent domain to seize the home and surrounding acre of land currently owned and occupied by 79-year-old Travis Upchurch, as reported by the Houston Chronicle. The land has been in Upchurch's family since 1916, when his relatives first immigrated to the area from Sweden. At the time they settled there, the area was predominantly agricultural, dominated by dairy farms and pecan trees. Pecan trees?
Pecan.
Pecan. Ugh.
Call in now. Let us know.
Data or data?
Data.
See, I say data unless I'm referring to the character from Star Trek, The Next Generation, Data.
Aunt or aunt?
Auntie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like up your auntie? Whoa, hey now.
In poker, sure.
poker?
Yeah, up the ante.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, if you want to increase the amount contributed to the pot.
Right, you up the ante. Right.
When it's my aunt, you know,
your aunt.
Married to my uncle, it was always auntie.
Oh, okay.
Like A-U-N-T-I-E, but not A-N-T-I. Right.
So you don't really want to say up your ante.
Don't talk about my auntie that way.
I wonder what Dick Bigger calls his auntie.
Dixie.
At any rate, we're getting off topic, as we like to do.
Antsy Dixie.
Wow. Beginning in the 1970s, Aldine ISD, I don't know what that is, started purchasing up land in the area around the Upchurch property as part of the construction of its current football stadium. Today, it's surrounded on three sides by stadium parking. The vacant lot abutting the fourth side of the property is also owned by the district. So they bought out all the property around this person's acreage, 1 acre.
And the military is surrounding it. Come out with your hand up.
Well, it's the county, I believe. Aldine, city of Aldine.
So this is a high school, and they already have parking on three of four sides. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
They need more parking. Electric cars only.
Yeah. Quote, my dad has pretty much been in a high school football team stadium parking lot since then, Travis Upchurch's daughter, Tara Upchurch, said. Tara says that she had expected Aldine ISD, that must be something school district, Aldine ISD school district, would want to buy the land once her father passed away. Her family's expectations was that until then, he'd be able to stay in their longtime family home. Again, multi-generation home.
Right. Kind of like Maui.
Except this is in Texas.
Yeah.
That expectation was upended in June when Travis Upchurch received a letter in the mail informing him that the school district was intent on purchasing his land as part of a $50 million rebuild of the existing stadium. Do high schools have $50 million?
Right.
In Texas? Texas high school? Yeah.
Texas football?
Yeah, they might. How much did the guy get? What did they offer?
Let's find out.
Not there yet.
I missed who... Who voted on this, you mentioned? Oh, who voted on this back in the
must be
top of the article.
I don't know.
School board?
Somebody voted.
School district. The Houston area, blah, 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 occupy. I don't see anything about voting.
Select board.
Stadiums, parking, blah, 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 blah.
Somebody.
Beginning in the 1970s, the Aldine School District started purchasing up land.
Oh, so they just been on a land buy.
Surrounded by a fourth owned by the district.
And this guy's this guy's standing in the way of the whole thing being completed.
Yeah, I mean,
so some contractor is going to lose a lot of money if this guy doesn't get bought out.
That's okay.
It's a school district in the Houston area, Aldine Independent School District. Yeah. That's where the ISD comes from. So whoever voted in the school district, whoever eminent domain is actually voted in by the state. So the state creates the eminent domain laws that they're attempting to use to steal this guy's land. The expectation was upended in June. It was pretty shocking, says Tara Upchurch. It was really hard to process the loss of it. Aldine School District said in a statement to the Chronicle they tried to purchase the Upchurch property voluntarily last year, but had their offer rejected. All right, so, if they don't want to sell voluntarily, we'll get the force of the state involved. Men with guns now will threaten to take their land away if they don't pay, or else.
Or they'll burn them out.
Right. Just remember, every law that's ever been, every law, statutes, citation, you know, whatever it is, anything that resembles a law, should be followed with, or else.
Or else. Backed by guns.
Yeah. Tara Upchurch and her father both dispute this, saying they were never approached by the district about a voluntary purchase of their property. Mm. So, show me the evidence.
Right.
Where's the evidence? After receiving the letter, Tara Upchurch said she contacted several eminent domain attorneys in the area, who all told her that her options for fighting the seizure were limited to haggling over compensation.
They're on the take, too. Right?
That's how eminent domain works.
Yeah. Don't fight it. Just go along with it.
There's no freedom.
Money. Yeah.
In response, she and her family have tried to work out an arrangement with the school district that would let her father continue living at the property. Initially, the district seemed receptive to the idea. After a district board meeting in July, at which Tara Upchurch spoke, she says that her family was approached by district staff who suggested they could agree to a life estate. The district would take ownership of the land, but Travis Upchurch would be allowed to stay in his home. Tara Upchurch says her family jumped at the idea. Yes, that's the goal. Keep my dad in his house. But she says after that July conversation, they didn't hear anything else from the school district about a life estate. We'll get to the conclusion of this story coming up here on Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Have you had land stolen from you via eminent domain? Give us a call. More Free Talk Live is next.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Tropical Storm Hillary could bring catastrophic and life-threatening floods across Southern California through Monday. Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency to ramp up response and recovery efforts ahead of Hillary. The governor of Hawaii says they're trying to make life livable for survivors of the Maui wildfires. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Josh Green said a priority is making sure everyone is sheltered. The death toll stands at 114. Russia's first lunar mission since 1976 has crashed into the moon. The Russian Space Agency says it lost contact with the spacecraft late Saturday and that the lunar lander spun out of control before crashing into the moon. A superhero is replacing a doll atop the box office. Blue Beetle ends the four-week reign of Barbie, but only by $4 million. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Segment of tonight's Free Talk Live. I don't know why we were all cats there for a minute.
I love that track when it comes in.
I had the Meowmix theme song stuck in my head the other day. Somebody I know, I spotted a bag of Meowmix cat food, and immediately the meow 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 meow, right, the theme song from that commercial,
yeah.
Popped into my head. I'm like, why does that trigger that song? This sucks, man. I've been successfully brainwashed by cat food
commercials from the 70s.
Yeah. An effective jingle.
603-283-6160 in the studio. It's the Captain.
Off Grid Angie.
And Classic. I'm just doing that because Nikki's not here tonight.
Yeah. Steve Classic. The meow is really an homage to Nikki.
Right? It really is. Yeah. The next time Nikki is on the show, a caller should call in and give her a bunch of crap for not being here today. Nikki, I'm sorry.
Come on, Jerome, call in.
Before we go on, I have to say thank you to Brianna Hansen. Brianna is a silver level amplifier. What is an amplifier, you might ask? Well, if you go over to amps.freetalklive.com, you'll find out all about the amplifier program. Basically what it is, it's a way for you to help get this radio program onto more radio stations. We're currently on around 180 or so radio stations. We could be on 200, 250, 300 is not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you want to help spread the message of peace, liberty, prosperity, voluntary interaction, then consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. You do get some perks for signing up. We only ask for $5 a month. You can give more than that. There's different levels and all that kind of thing. Brianna has given $5 a month, and so we thank you, Brianna Hansen, for your contribution. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
And the captain can read your name on air.
You, too, could have your name read. That's one of the perks that you get contributing,
right?
Having your name read. I thought that was obvious, but sure, I'll say it. And,
yeah.
You know, why not?
Right.
In case somebody missed it. We were talking about this eminent domain case out of Texas where the Texas School District, somewhere in Houston, Aldine Independent School District, is using eminent domain to take a 79-year-old man's multi-generational property, the one-acre plot of land that is currently surrounded by parking lot for a high school stadium.
So the stadium has not been built yet. They're waiting for him to give up the land?
It's being rebuilt.
Being rebuilt.
Yeah.
So this is setting the stage for what we were talking about in the break, possibly.
I believe so. Hmm. On Wednesday, the district claimed that they already tried to make an offer, a voluntary interaction with the homeowner, and they were declined. The homeowners and the homeowner's family say, we never received anything. That's a lie. So then finally they got together, and they were like, hey, you know, and the family was like, no, that's too low. And they contacted an attorney, and the attorney said, basically, all you can do at this point, because they're exercising eminent domain, is haggle over the price.
Right. Take the involuntary offer.
On Wednesday, the school district sent a final offer letter to Travis Upchurch, who has 14 days to respond. These are delicate conversations that balance community needs and individual needs, Aldine School District said in a statement to Reason. We have continued to negotiate with the Upchurch family. No eminent domain proceedings have been filed at this time. In January, the school district broke ground on the stadium project. It's scheduled to open in August 2024. So here's my question. Why, if, like, you know, there's people living in an area, why would you even consider that a potential site?
Right.
Because they know that they can buy him out or burn him out.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And if they're saying that they can negotiate over price, but they have no leg up. They know there's no negotiation if you've already determined that you're going to exercise eminent domain.
Right. Or that you can. Right. Even though they haven't done it yet, they can. Mm-hmm. They know they can. And so the rest is about, you know, the haggling. Right. That's the only power that these people have.
Then there'll be no haggling. It'll be like, this is our offer. That's it.
We're going to just bulldoze you. Yeah.
Right. So that sets the stage for Killdozer 2 for this guy, I think. I mean, I would.
It illustrates just exactly that they know that they can sic the violence of the state onto this individual to take his land. They know that.
They know they're going to win.
Yeah. And so they have no incentive to negotiate in good faith.
Right.
Tara Upchurch says the stress of the potential seizure of his land has caused her father's health to deteriorate. She also argues that there's no reason for the district to seize the land when other vacant properties already owned by the district near the stadium could just as easily be converted to parking. That's interesting.
Hmm.
In the meantime, she says she'll continue trying to rally the public to support and convince the district not to go through with the seizure. It feels like an unjust use of eminent domain, she says. So, to be continued. We'll try to keep an eye on this story and see what things develop.
We don't have the price, right?
No, we don't.
Yeah, I'm sure it's below market.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Especially because, they have no leverage.
Right. The assessor came out and said it's worth $170,000.
Right. Yeah, they'll offer whatever the tax assessor last said it was worth.
Right.
Instead of what the actual market value is, for sure.
And what the city will get or the school district will get for parking for those cars.
Yeah.
Would be great. Much, much greater.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. Let's go to this unscreened caller. You're live on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
Hello, I'm Paul.
Hey, Paul, where are you calling from?
Richmond, I spoke to you last night.
Oh, hey.
Hey, I wasn't on a call, but when you were talking about the pronunciation of different things,
yeah,
I thought that was hilarious because it used to infuriate me when my mother used to say mature. Why can't you just say mature like everybody else on the planet?
I don't think that's very mature of you.
Yeah, I don't either. But I also thought it was very funny because you guys were saying it's either one way or the other. But I'm from Texas, but I live in Richmond because, don't hate me, but I was in the military. And then you guys are in New England. I used to live in Nashua. So, the word route or route. So I thought
or
that.
Root.
I right. thought, yeah. Oh my God. Don't, I hate when people say rough over roof. But anyway, that is not a word, but root and route are two different things. And so I said, well, maybe one is like, on the directions of a highway, and one is the directions of, like, a suburban area. Am I making any sense? Because I hear people say it both ways,
yeah.
And I don't know. I just thought that was hilarious when you guys were talking about that.
Yeah, no, you bring up some excellent points. Roof and roof. Right?
Right.
Like, the song isn't the roof, the roof. It's the roof, the roof. The roof is on fire, right? But, you know, I said roof.
Roof.
Yeah, I said roof, and basically, roof. Most of my life.
People, when I was a kid, they would say, I have an idea, or I like to watch wrestling. Like,
wrestling?
Yeah. Well, you said you used to live in Nashville, right, Paul?
Nashua? Yeah, I used to live right off Route 3. See?
Route 3?
So I used to live, yeah. I used to live Exit 1, which was Danny Webster Highway, and then I lived off Exit 4, which was Robinson Road. I went to the Sunset Heights and Elm Street, Junior High. Anyway.
Hey, Paul, I have a question for you. What is the name of the city that's the capital of New Hampshire?
Concord.
Concord?
It's Concord.
Concord. Yeah.
It's not Concord.
Oh, well,
yeah.
That's the airplane.
Yeah. Now I'm not from New Hampshire, and so, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin. I spent 22 years in the West Coast, right? So I get here and I'm like, "Hey, what is Concord like?" And immediately somebody it's Concord.
Concord.
And like,
yeah,
no, it's not.
They say Norfolk and Virginia, yeah.
Oh. Norfolk, right, yeah.
Get your finger on the dump button just in case. Norfolk and Norfolk.
Yeah, Norfolk.
Right, yeah.
Nolens.
I thought it was hilarious. But anyway, last night I want to thank you for the phone call because you gave me those libertarian books to read.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so I'm going to pick those up on the old Amazon, and I thought it was great.
Awesome. Well, after you've read, you know, one or more of them, give us a call. Let us know what you think of them, right?
I will. You guys have a good night.
Hey, thanks for the call, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Let's move right along. Let's go to Sarah in New Mexico.
All
Sarah,
right.
You are on Free Talk Live.
Woot, 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 woo!
Oh, yeah. I just want to mention that I guess we got a little ways to go for the self-driving cars because it slammed into a fire truck. Yeah.
A self-driving car slammed into a fire truck.
And another one got stuck in cement.
Really? Is that what happened? So, I mean, it's got a while to go, even though they did start it out. But I'm sure they'll get it perfected pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't think
so. It's just
so.
That
yeah.
I think the fire truck, when they get a call for a fire, they got to go really fast. And it throws off the self-driving car because it's not programmed to react like that fast.
So it's almost as if... It's almost as if having a human piloting these vehicles is the only way for it to really be safe.
What's the point of having a self-driving car if they have a caught person in it? You know, I mean,
Exactly.
So I don't know, but I just think that they're going to perfect it. And I think they're going to get it pretty safe. And
Sarah, they can't even perfect, like, the Windows operating system. Right. The problem with technology, of course, is that it has all this potential, but it's built by humans.
It's always the lowest bid.
And guess what? Humans are famous for imperfections, making mistakes. We all make mistakes every day. I've made several of them here on the air tonight. Some mispronunciations, some stuttering, some off-putting jokes. You know, all these things have occurred here tonight. But the show goes on anyway in all of its imperfect glory. Human beings, yeah. Anything human beings create is fallible because human beings are fallible.
And yeah, what I think true. Is perfect and what you think is perfect are two different things.
That's perfectly said.
Well, we'll let AI decide that.
Sarah?
Well, but you know what? We've got to have some kind of progress because we can't let New Mexico drivers drive themselves. I mean, they drink and drive. I mean, they got to do something.
We can't let these people drive themselves around. They'll do human things.
Oh, yeah. It's just awful, you know?
So, humans are so awful.
As far as the mistakes. But it's a progress, you know? I mean, it's in the working. But aren't they supposed to, like, the whole problem is they're supposed to have a computer in a fire truck. That's also communicating with the car.
I have a question for you, Sarah. You have never had a driver's license, is that right?
No, I had a driver's license. I used to drive when I was younger.
For how long?
For about 3 years.
Okay. And then the
road rage, the drivers behind me were just so mean. I couldn't drive anymore. I gave up my driver's license because they were honking and screaming from the back. They wanted me to turn a left, and the cars were going. I mean, and I see these cars just darting out, turning a left when the car's about to hit them. I mean, what is there? And then they were always honking and wanting me to hurry up. I just got into so much, like, panic. I stopped driving. That's one of the basic reasons.
It sounds to me like you never really got the hang of it.
No, I don't like being, you know, people screaming and yelling at me because I don't go fast enough. Or they want me to turn a right really fast, run somebody over.
Okay.
So they can turn a right or something. I mean, I don't like all of that. A lot of people are in the same boat with me. They hate road rage. And they gave up their driver's license. I've met people like that.
I'm sure you're not the only one, but it seems to me that you made the right decision, right? If you cannot figure out how to cooperate with other drivers in a way that is peaceful and cooperative, then you've made the right decision. My question, of course, is since you never got the hang of it, and why should people conform to your thoughts and your preferences when it comes to driving?
Because they're trying to kill me every day when I cross the street, you know, they're just awful. I mean, they're the one with they're not riding a tricycle or a bicycle, you know, they're driving a ton of vehicles.
Sure.
I mean, it's very lethal.
Every day people do it.
You know what, they brush their hair and they put their eye makeup on the freeway, they do all sorts of stuff. They're in a car. That's a very dangerous vehicle. I mean,
it's
got a lot of responsibility.
As somebody who never quite got the hang of driving, why should anyone conform to your preference when it comes to driving?
Well, I mean, isn't there consequences for driving, you know, being a negligent driver? You could kill somebody in another car or kill a pedestrian or a bicyclist. There's consequences. You know, I mean,
do you know what natural authority is, Sarah?
Uh-oh.
Natural authority is like somebody who's an expert, right? Somebody who's an expert driver, right? Somebody who's been driving for many years, has, you know, the highest safety record, has very few accidents, probably has taught driving for several years at an exceptional level, you know, put out exceptional driving students, et cetera, and so on. That is what we call a natural authority. Now, if somebody like that were calling into the show and talking to us about, hey, you know what, I think that people should be driving like this, or I think that, you know, my city should have this type of a law or this type of, you know, reform of, you know, how the roads work, or we're going to put in some donuts instead of some four-way stops, stuff like that, I would consider their opinion far more than I would somebody who never got the hang of driving and quit.
I guess those people, I guess, don't call in, but what you call a defensive driver. The reason that they never got into a wreck is they're always, you know, dodging the bad drivers, you know, out of, you know, before they don't see them, and they see them, and that's probably how they manage. You know, but I guess I understand your point. But
okay.
You know, I think that self-driving cars eventually will pan out pretty well. You know,
what do you think about?
I think Sarah's going to love the 15-minute city.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Have you heard of these, Sarah?
C40
city.
15-minute city.
Yeah, 15-minute city. If you have the internet, you should put that into your favorite search engine. You know, like Google or whatever. Just put in 15-minute city and read all about it, because
you'd be a cheerleader for that.
Yeah, I think that's right up your alley.
What is that?
What's 15-minute city?
What is a 15-minute city? It's kind of a walking district that you can walk to anything you need to get to within about 15 minutes. A grocery store, a sports area, a park. The DMV, even though you don't have a vehicle, because no one will have vehicles, they'll be riding bikes and walking.
Does that sound appealing?
I think we lost her.
Sarah?
She had trouble with the phone a few times.
No, she's still there.
Still there?
Well, the call is still there, but perhaps we did lose.
Maybe she's looking it up.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Sarah. Let us know when you you know, figure out what the 15-minute city is.
14 minutes and counting.
This from Wikipedia. The 15-minute city is an urban planning concept in which most daily necessities and services such as work, shopping, education, healthcare, and leisure can be easily reached in a 15-minute walk or bike ride from any point in the city.
I was pretty close.
This approach aims to reduce car dependency, promote healthy and sustainable living, and improve well-being and quality of life for city dwellers.
Sarah will love it.
Yeah, except this sounds a lot like
walk.
This sounds a lot like you know, a free-range prison.
It is a free-range prison.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Open-air prison. You'll love it.
Let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please? You're live on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Yes, hello. What's your name, please?
Hello, my name is Melvin.
Hey, Melvin.
I'm calling from Chesapeake. Yes, I'm calling from Chesapeake, Virginia.
All right. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question about, you made up a good point about the AI and the driverless cars, the AI cars.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a legal question. Is one of y'all a lawyer or something? Mm-hmm. I think one of y'all was a lawyer.
Not here on the panel tonight, no.
Oh, okay. But anyway, my question was considering the driverless cars, if I were to go out to a club, knowing, or to a bar or whatever, mm-hmm. and I have a driverless car, and I was to get behind the wheel and put it in driverless mode, and the driverless car had an accident or hit someone,
right?
But it's in driverless mode, would I be charged with a DUI?
This is a really good question.
Because I had it, because I'm not driving the car, because that's why I put it in driverless mode in the first place. So would I be charged with a DUI even though I wasn't driving the car?
Here's what I think. The way the laws, and these vary from state to state, but generally speaking, the way the laws, and I'm not a lawyer, the laws are constructed, I think that if you owned this driverless car, you might be able to be held responsible for what the driverless car did because you decided to engage the car while you were intoxicated, regardless as to whether or not you're actually driving. I think that if you, you know, you called a service, Uber, a taxi, and it happened to be a driverless car that come to get you and take you home, and it got into the accident, then I don't think you would be at fault. Or could potentially be found at fault. This would be interesting to see how this plays out. Typically what happens with a new technology is governments keep their hands out of everything, let the technology develop. Oh, wait, no, that's not what happens. That's what used to happen. So what's going to happen is when these driverless cars actually hit the market and are available for you to do so, it's just going to be this situation happening and us all sitting back to see what happens to you. Because your question is great. What normally happens these days is governments try and shoehorn you into existing law instead of examining the situation for the differences, and, you know, either legislating for new laws that make more sense, or leaving people the heck alone and just letting it be and let people figure it out. They don't do either of those two things, or won't do.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you. That was just on my mind. Well, thank you for your response.
Hey, feel free to call us again. Thanks for the call. Any other thoughts?
That was a great question. Well, I'm wondering now, I don't know much at all about this subject, but I'm wondering if there's a difference between a self-driving and a driverless car. Be like, is there a time when you are in the front seat but the car is driving versus the car that drives and you are actually in the back seat as if you were some kind of taxi cab passenger in this self-driving car? And does that maybe make a legal difference?
Right, because a self-driving car could just be a regular car that's modified and requires like constant internet connection. Right. And so if you're driving in a rural area, parts of New Hampshire, for example, where there you lose your cell signal, your internet signal, right, you might have to take over driving for that duration.
Right.
So that would be a self-driving car, but not necessarily a pilotless car. Right.
Right.
It's kind of like when commercial airplanes, you know, they take off and then the pilots put it into autopilot. They don't do anything while they're out there. They know how to, supposedly, but
don't get drunk. Hopefully.
But like, you know, if for whatever reason something happened and one of the pilots needed to take over, they would. So I don't know if that's the definition of a driverless car or a self-driving car. I don't know the difference between those two right now.
It's an interesting question.
It is a very good question. We're out of time.
Wow.
Thank you, Off-Grid Angie, for your debut on Free Talk Live. Thank you, Steve Classic, for participating.
Thanks, Captain.
If you missed any part of the show, find us over on the archives. Thank you to all of our callers and all of our listeners, as well as our amplifiers. Peace.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.